Many, many years ago, before I became a Christian, I was an atheist, and I was involved in many occult experiences. And my father-in-law was very active in the New Age movement. He brought out a magazine in Southern Africa called Inner Space. His wife, it's not my wife's mother, but stepmother, his second wife, was deeply involved as well. She would act as a medium. She used to teach a program which was called A Course in Miracles, which was a channeled book by Shukman, who was a psychologist. And in this series, in these lessons that you would perform, you could become like Christ. And that's why it's A Course in Miracles. Anything he could do, you could do as well, because we are all Christ in that philosophy.
Your own God.
Yes. She was also a medium, in a sense, and she would have liaisons and meetings with spirit entities that used to appear to her. So she would be in session like a medium or like a channel. And I was also, through my father-in-law's activity, exposed to a channel of Africa. These are individuals that receive regular messages, and through circumstances, I ended up in one of their temples where he was operative. And this temple was, this is just background before we get to your story about spirit entities.
Please.
Manifesting. Was designed like a temple of Aquarius. It had a podium, like a preacher's rostrum. And there was the sign of Aquarius was on there, and then it had microphones coming down from the ceiling. And the guest list would include ministers in public sphere, like ministers in government, minister of this and minister of that, religious figures, and sports world.
Really?
Yes, the sports world was very well represented, and of course the medical world. So they would have regular sessions and receive instructions. And these spirit entities would manifest and speak to them. But there were also discussions about UFOs and individuals that would be associated with UFOs. And in that area in the Cape where these activities were most prevalent, there was a particular mountain. And this mountain is very well known for UFO activities. And many of the New Age people bought property on those mountains so that they could be exposed to these UFOs. And they believe that people can be whisked away. And there was talk about a lady who lived in that time period. Her name was Elizabeth Clara. And she wrote books about how she had been abducted by these aliens in alien ships, how she had been basically married to one of them, had children with him.
Huh.
And she was very famous, and there were many articles in magazines and newspapers. And my father-in-law, who was also into journalism to a large extent, was very involved in discussions with all of the activities. And this was sort of common discussion, as if it was something that was normal, although, of course, it was paranormal. Now, as far as I was concerned, I spoke to these channels personally. They actually showed me letters of communication with high government officials. I'm talking prime ministers and presidents of the world, so we're not talking hearsay things, and they showed me letters, and they obviously thought I was initiated into that sphere of thinking, although I wasn't. I had actually at that stage already come out. But before that discussion with these individuals, before I'd actually become a Christian, we were with my father-in-law talking about all of these issues, and my wife and I went to a restaurant which was opposite the ocean. So you had a beautiful view of the ocean from this restaurant. And as we sat there, two craft appeared over the ocean. And I saw these with my own eyes, and not only I, my wife saw them, and everybody else in the restaurant. The restaurant had very big windows facing the ocean. We ran to the window and we watched these two objects flying and hovering over the ocean. And they looked like UFOs, round, disc-shaped objects. And they stayed there for a couple of minutes, sort of moving left and right and up and down. And then two Mirage jets from the military came flying, roaring across the ocean. And it was a display that lasted for, I don't know how long it exactly lasted, probably maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes, somewhere around there. These Mirage would come and they would just rise. And the Mirage would undershoot them. They, of course, have a relatively large turning circle. They would need to double back round. And these things were just playing the fool with them, going up, but at incredible speeds, nothing that our technology could equal. And this display of cat and mouse carried on for about, 8 to 10 minutes. And then they just shot off with a speed that is unimaginable and disappeared. And the Mirage circled for a while and then went back to base. And so I experienced that with my own eyes. And of course, then you start speculating. What are these? Of course, the first thing that comes to mind, these are extraterrestrials. But the interesting thing is that these extraterrestrial so-called experiences were often associated with this occult world. In other words, associated with a world where you speak to entities that come and appear before you, like in the case of this stepmother of my wife. And these experiences continued for a while, and we were involved in this, and we even went to this mountain and talked to people that were involved in that, and they had very regular sightings. It was a very famous spot for these sightings, and occasionally there would be something in the newspaper about a sighting and this and that, but very much like today, just talk and nothing else. What is interesting is that some of the reports that I heard was that when these entities appeared and you approached them, there was almost like a hypnotic activity.
Yeah.
And very often the entities, when they appeared, had an emblem on them, the emblem of a serpent on their dress. They were dressed apparently, you know, like we would imagine an alien space individual would be dressed with these tight-fitting clothes, like in Star Wars,
sure,
things like that. Cool. So very much the picture that you would imagine that was presented. But very interesting to me is that when these manifestations took place, the people involved would speak in tongues. So the experience is very similar to a religious experience in a charismatic world. So having that kind of knowledge, you put the two and two together, then you realize that perhaps, or probably, let me go that far, these are actually spirit entities that are manifesting themselves. Now, what I'm talking about happened to us 38 years ago. Now, when I became a Christian and I'd moved from my work in the city and I'd moved to a farm, we just settled at this place in a very rural area of southern Africa, and there was a young pastoral couple that had come to visit us. And all of a sudden, as we were sitting and talking in the lounge, these absolutely brilliant lights started flying around our house.
Right.
And we ran to the window and we looked, and these things were just shooting across the sky like brilliant lights. And we watched these things for a while, and I said, you know, this is a demonic activity, although everybody else would say this is a UFO activity, of course. And the next day, the farmers reported that these objects had landed, and where they had landed, there were burn marks, obviously from the kind of feet or something that came down. And I realized that this was a demonic manifestation. I believe it was a demonic manifestation. And you know that Alice A. Bailey says that the hierarchy, the New Age hierarchy, the masters, and if you look at these masters, they all resemble the pictures that we have of Jesus. And that they would manifest themselves by the year 2025.
Oh.
So 2025 is not too far away.
It's not. Oh.
And in the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy, we read that this kind of activity will increase and that there will be manifestations of entities that say that they are relatives from the past. And if I look at our news feeds that we have, I watch a couple of news channels just to keep up and abreast with what's happening in the world. So I try to have a balanced field of what I'm looking at. I try to have a conservative news feed and then a very liberal one and somewhere something in between.
Mm-hmm.
And on a daily basis, I go through three of them, just to keep up to date with what is the left saying, what's the right saying, and what is the nowheres in between saying. And it's just amazing how many film stars and prominent people are beginning to talk about these manifestations.
Yes.
I mean, just today in one of the news feeds this morning, I was looking at one of them. And it stated that this person's wife had died, but that these manifestations were taking place in his house and he was in constant communication with her, and that the radio would start playing or a CD would start playing, her favorite one, and would switch itself off and switch itself on again. Now, I know where that comes from because in my own experience, I had manifestations like that in my own life. We had many, many demonic manifestations when we were in the world out there dabbling in the occult, and some of them are not very pleasant. Anybody knows my conversion story, then they will see that there were some pretty nasty demonic activities that were going on. So these things are not strange to me, but trying to put them into a prophetic picture, where are we heading? Oh, what is the world moving towards? According to Scripture, there will be legislation that will be passed of a religious nature, enforcing certain dogmas, etc. And in order for that to take place, people must believe in something. Mm-hmm. And it can be of a religious nature. It can be of a New Age nature. These spirit entities, for example, will encourage the world to change their lifestyles, mm-hmm. to become more vegetarian, And when I dabbled in those things, some of those entities would say, and they speak in, I have recordings, I listened to recordings of mediums speaking. And they speak in the voices of the people that they are representing. Mm-hmm. Like I listened to one series of a medium manifesting the voice of Cecil John Rhodes and the way in which he speaks and where he is in the hierarchy and how high up he is and how informed some of you are. And he'll speak about my dear ones. Oh, and they speak in such a seductive fashion, mm-hmm. to draw you in and to tell you that you are on a higher plane because you are experiencing these manifestations and you are chosen because you're supposed to be an ambassador for this kind of thing. And they would say, you know, you must cut down on your animal product consumption so that you can have a clear mind to communicate with these entities.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a complete counterfeit,
yeah.
of the truth. There is truth and elements of truth, but based on a wrong premise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that these manifestations will become more and more. And for every mindset, there has to be something. So those that believe that you are a product of the stars, that you are a grand creation or experiment by extraterrestrial beings that have come to plant a seed on this earth, and when they are ripe spiritually to go into the next phase, as they are talking about, into the hierarchy, then they will manifest and draw you into this higher position. This is sort of the New Age dream. And so to answer your question bluntly, I believe they're demonic manifestations. I believe that the craft are illusionary, like almost hypnotic implants,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that you see, that they're probably not real. They're probably not really powered vehicles of any kind, but are actually hypnotic implants.
There is a spiritualism coming that we're told about in the Great Controversy that I think is not, the world is not prepared for yet. If I may, I want to present, this is what started this whole thing, this clip from Roger Morneau. Check this out.
In reality, Roger, you were chosen, mm-hmm. by high-powered demon spirits,
yeah.
to be a part of their human, special, privileged, mm-hmm. group.
He says, we are the elite. We know the real truth about the master and his angels.
And the priest told us,
could I have a little bit more of your time? I want to tell you something very fascinating. He says, the grand plan for harvesting the multitudes of the earth into his cause just before the close of the great controversy between the forces of good and evil. And he said, it's going to be done in a unique manner. This grand plan, he says, is going to take people are going to eat the stuff, because he says, spirits, demon spirits, will declare themselves to be inhabitants of far distant planets in the galaxies that are coming to warn the inhabitants of planet Earth of the impending destruction of the planet unless something seriously proper is done to avoid it. It was a big thing that was coming up, one of the major deceptions of the last days.
I've been going over this topic week by week, and the things that you mentioned, like the marriage, I just interviewed a guy who truly believes in this stuff from Atlantis, a professor down there in one of the, it's basically the Ivy League of the South, and he's absolutely sure that he has a child with an alien on another craft. And this has happened over and over and over again. When I talk to people about this, they say, oh yeah, I have children, I have this, I have that. The hypnotic time, missing time people talk about. You said hypnotic, and I thought about the missing time people say. We know time perhaps can't go missing, but we do know that visions can happen, right? And you lose track of what's going on around you. Burn marks. Mm-hmm. I used to live in California when I left my property, and that my neighbors came over, and they said, as I was leaving, they said, what do you do with this studio? Well, I had Brendan's YouTube channel, and we talk about these strange things. And as I got into it, he said, well, didn't you know a couple years ago that there was a big round glowing object that landed in your field and left a giant burn mark, indention in the field? I said, I didn't know this in my field before I bought the property. And you mentioned 2025. We've gone over that with Scott Ritzma. He's done a lot of research on that. It was very interesting. And the activity that you just mentioned, I want to talk about that, but I have a clip that kind of goes over that.
Whatever the phenomenon is, it's capable of manipulating human perception,
mm-hmm.
human consciousness.
Right.
It can make us see things that aren't there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the best example of this that I know is a story that Jacques Vallée brought to me of a family in France driving down the highway. This was like in the last 5 to 10 years. And they had a glass-topped car. And they look up and they see a UFO, you know, basically paralleling them down the highway. The mother looks around and sees that no other individuals nearby are freaking out about this thing above them. The children in the back take out their cell phones, take a picture of it. They get home and they look at the pictures on their camera, and they don't see an object. They see a little star-shaped thing about 30 so feet above it, and I have the picture. Even if it was an object, it was that was there. Others weren't capable of seeing it, so it was manipulating vision. So yes is the short answer.
And as I study this, I'm realizing that not only can they manipulate, it's basically like a vision that they're giving these
people. It's like a vision, yes.
Yeah.
And the people that come out of these visions are very much like those that have attended religious festivals where they go into a trance state. And very often they can't remember the details. Very often there are even sexual connotations associated with it. And I would have brushed all of this off if I hadn't had personal experience and seen things with my own eyes. Wow. And had manifestations in my life, not with direct contact with beings like from a spacecraft or anything like that, but with the entities and their manifestations and the problems that they caused in our own environment. So they are definitely there, and they are preparing the mind for something. And you mentioned nuclear war, that they have to get rid of that they prompt humanity to get rid of the nuclear weapons.
Can I play that real quick, that clip, the yes. full clip? That is a very interesting clip.
There are two things that they keep saying over and over again. Number one, you've got to get rid of your nuclear weapons programs. And secondly, you've got to stop polluting your planet with petroleum. You know, that you're polluting your planet and contaminating it, you know, and you're going to ruin the entire climactic system of your planet.
At that stage, the thing about nuclear war was very prevalent, but not the one on the climate impact of petroleum products. But for example, they would say that if humanity was left to itself, it would destroy itself. So these beings actually will manifest to prevent humanity from destroying itself. But if humanity doesn't grow to the point where they can transcend this raw aspect of their being, then they might actually allow humanity to destroy itself. So that's why it's so important that we grow into this age, which they call the Aquarius.
Ah,
yes.
It was very prevalent in the 60s and 70s. That's why they even made songs, the age of the Aquarius.
That's right.
And so that's interesting you should mention that, because you mentioned earlier that you had a channeled writings that you had seen that mentioned some of this stuff. This book called The Law of One, it's also called The Ra Material. They call it R-A, like the Ra, right? And what's interesting about this, I have a group of about 100 people in Discord that help me research this. They're volunteers, and they've done a fantastic job. One of them, Aaron, he found this is really interesting from book one. Listen to this and tell me what you think about it.
A channeled writing. Yeah.
Question. Can you tell me about the origin of the Ten Commandments? Ra. The origin of these commandments follows the law of negative entities. Question. Was this done by the Orion group? Ra. This is correct. Question. What was their purpose in doing this? Ra. The purpose of the Orion group, as mentioned before, is conquest and enslavement. Question. It would be wholly unlikely an entity fully aware of the knowledge of the Law One to ever say, "Thou shalt not." Is this correct? Ra. This is correct.
So in other words, he's, as they channel this thing, Ra, as he calls himself, he's saying, there is a group in the Orion area. This isn't from Spirit of Prophecy. This is channeled writings from demonic entities saying there is a group coming from the Orion area that created the Ten Commandments that is coming to enslave humanity with rules.
This is very interesting. And he obviously also refers to himself as one. Now, one with a capital letter can be used for God. But Lucifer also likes to refer to himself as one. In fact, the one. So in the occult world, he is known as the one. And in the Baha'i world, they call him the wronged one. So that's fascinating. And he will manifest himself in some religious movements, like Mormonism, for example. They were the two sons. And Lucifer is actually the elder. And his seat has been usurped. And he will regain his seat again. So this cosmic war against Christ by Lucifer, the wronged one. I'm not saying that is in Mormonism, but this is in the occult world. He is the real light bearer. Now we know that his war is against the law of God, and his law is "do what thou wilt," is the whole of the law. And we also know from the Spirit of Prophecy that when Christ returns, he comes from the constellation of Orion, which is the constellation that is visible both in the north and in the southern hemisphere. And it's interesting scientifically that where the Bible says who can loosen the belt of Orion, that is the constellation that is moving apart, where the belt is actually moving apart at a tremendous pace. And there's supposedly this nebula in Orion, which some believe is a black hole, but it cannot be a black hole because out of a black hole nothing comes out. Mm-hmm. But there's a kind of celestial light that is present in that constellation, which some believe is actually the light from the city of God. So there are many speculations with regard to Orion and the cosmic battle between good and evil.
So when this one says that the enslavers will come from there, it's actually directly opposite to what...
Yes, the opposite.
If it's God coming from there.
If you read the Spirit of Prophecy, then it states there that Satan referred to the angels as deluded slaves.
Mm.
So, as slavery to what? Slavery to the law. Mm. So, he believed that the law was unrighteously forced upon moral beings that should be able to make their own moral choices. So if you read in the book of Genesis, the three lies that Satan presented to Eve, one of them was, you will know good and evil. That means you don't need an external standard to tell you what is good and what is evil. You don't need an external standard to tell you what is right and what is wrong. You are a high moral being. You are a God yourself. Therefore, you are not subject to a moral standard by anyone. You are free from that. So any subjection to a law, obviously, in his mindset, is slavery. Whereas if you look at the law of God, the Bible calls it a law of freedom. Because the only freedom you can ever have is if somebody actually keeps that law. We have no freedom. We are enslaved because of lawbreakers. A woman cannot go for a walk in a park without facing the danger of being either raped or murdered or whatever. She has no freedom to walk because someone says he doesn't have to keep the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not lie. So if you see those laws as limiting your freedom, then you have a pretty warped mind, because those are the only laws that can guarantee your freedom.
Absolutely. Well, this whole thing has stepped up a bit to another stage just recently. There's been podcasters, government podcasters, that have come on and said, you know what, we're going to talk about this because it's not being talked about enough in our government. We can't get people in our government to do things about it because they are Christian. They said the Christians don't want to talk about the UFOs because they believe it's demonic, and they're making decisions in your government, which we have a separation of church and state supposedly here in the U.S. So they're using that to try to get people on board with talking about this more.
This is a Department of Defense official saying, stop looking at UFOs because they're demonic?
Correct. He told me, he said, Lou, I want you to stop doing this. I said, okay, sir, I certainly can, but may I ask why? And he says, well, we already know what it is. He asked me point blank, have you read your Bible lately? And I said, well, sir, I think I know what it says. Where are you going with this? And he said, well, then you would know that these things are demonic and we should not be pursuing them.
And one of the things that has happened is that the government officials have come out and said they are looking into a guy with the last name Bledsoe. And so Chris Bledsoe and his son Ryan Bledsoe were former Christians that had had a significant experience with these things, more so than anyone else understands, and that's why the government is so interested in them. Because they say, we see these things floating around in our atmosphere, but we can't get to them. They don't come to us, but they come to this family. Why? I'm going to show you a testimony from Chris Bledsoe here. Tell me what you think about this.
And so I'm talking to the heavens, to the sky, just like this. I'm done with you. I'll never speak of you again. Don't come around me. Don't come in my house. I'm done with you. And that's what I did. And I walked in and I went to bed. I'm asleep. 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock on the dot. I heard this voice say, arise, in a manly voice. I mean, it sounded like thunder. It was so loud. And it woke me up from a dead sleep till I jumped up out of bed into a sitting position. And I looked around the room, panicked. I said, I heard that. Who's in here? If it had been my wife, it wouldn't have startled me. But because it was a deep, thunderous, manly voice, it scared me to death. And I looked straight at my clock. Had an old desktop clock back then. Everybody had an alarm clock, right? I don't use one. So now we use a cell phone.
Yeah.
I looked and it said 3 a.m. And I could see movement in my room. And it looked like these shadowy figures that we've been used to seeing. They were at the bed, foot of my bed, these shadowy figures. And what they did, I don't know. They put me in some sort of trance-like thing to where I got out of bed. I was in just my underwear. I put on full jeans, pants, shirt, shoes, and I walked right out the back door following them. And the minute I closed that door, I stood up and this blast of wind, it was so strong, this wind, it was a mighty wind, but it was localized. It wasn't the trees around me, it wasn't the forest, it was a blast of air in a circle in front of me, and I fell all the way to my back, flat in the leaves. And as I'm falling, I could see what looked like a 1,500 pound bull, a cow, come out of that hole, ran right over top of me. And I could see through it. I could see the stars right up through it, but I could see this bull. And so I land on my back and I roll to my stomach. And when I roll, and I'm trying to get up, right? I'm going to run. It happens within seconds. I hit my back, I roll to my stomach, I'm facing the other way. So I'm trying to get to my knees and to my feet to run, to know where this thing went. And immediately, the cow wasn't there. It was a woman, beautiful beyond measure. She was glowing, this bluish white color. And she had this white dress on that sparkled when it was flowing. Her dress just moved. And it looked like an old Roman dress. It went all the way to her feet and sleeves out to her hands here and a collar. There's a painting of her right there. That was done.
You painted this?
No, the man standing to me is a famous artist from New York. But she was hovering, barefooted, just like that, 3 feet off the ground. And she looks at me. I'm just in this biggest shock. Words can't describe how the power I felt from this wind and this bull run me over, and the fear that set in, flight. I had to run, you know. I had this instant fear hit me. But now I'm looking at this woman, so that whole fear thing turned into, oh my God, you know, what is this? Is this an angel? What am I looking at? She leans over and she looks at me and she says, this is your burden. She said, first she said, you know why I'm here. And I knew why she was there, because I had struggled internally for 5 years. These orbs come and it talks telepathically. But she said, this is your burden. You got to bear. And she said several things. There's going to be trouble coming. And we're going to wake the people up. And we're going to let you do it. We're going to use you. We want to help you. Introduce us to the world. That's what she said.
So he said that what's going on is this woman came to him and she told him, I want you to present us to the world. We're ready to come out to the world. And I want you to be the one to go and present us, basically making him a sort of demonic prophet for these things that are coming out. And not only did that happen, but he said, after the experience occurred, my dog ran into the house and gashed his neck on some barbed wire and put blood all over the house. He said, I ran over to the dog and grabbed the dog. And as I put my hand on the wound to try to stop the dog, because I am miles and miles away from a veterinarian, he says, I felt something happen in my hands that I've never held before, like electricity going through my hands. And I took my hand away from the dog and the dog was healed. He said, I have never experienced anything like this. And he goes on and explains further that he says, after that happened, the government officials would come to me and talk to me about these things that were coming to them that they noticed were coming to my home. And he said, they took me to Washington, D.C., and as I was there listening to these professionals do their presentations, one of them at the dinner table fell ill and fell over, couldn't breathe anymore or something. He said, they encouraged me to stand up and go do something, like, I'm going to do something, he said.
The table behind me, I heard this ruckus. And the band, they were dancing just like that, the whole crowd. You know, they knew how to party, and they were having the best time. I'm sitting watching my children have fun. And I heard this ruckus. Next thing I know, Jim's wife, Debbie, grabs me, picks me up basically and pulls me to this other table and said, you got to help this guy. And he was slumped over, face down. I mean, out cold, completely turned white. And they were trying to revive him, couldn't get him awake. And they drug me through the crowd, and I put my hands on his shoulders. very instant I did, he sat up and took a big breath. And they looked at me and said, "My God, you saved him."
It's really, really bizarre to see, to listen to the hours and hours of podcast that is happening to this family right now. Because even the youngest daughter in the family says that because of all this experience my father has had, has seen these orbs, he says, this house that we live in has become a haunted house. Things come up and they push us at night. They throw us around in the kitchen. And she says, it's bizarre.
What other types of experiences are we talking about?
Well, go ahead, you can talk.
I mean, anything you can think of, really. I've seen things, we've seen things like jump off of the table without being touched, like moving on their own, seeing shadow figures being touched. Anything, like you would think it was a haunted house growing up, but that's, you know, part of how we explain that this is all spiritual in nature is because it can really manifest in any way that it wants to. And so the phenomenon is not limited to what people think of as aliens or UFOs, where we were obviously seeing orbs every night as well. We were seeing things in the home that you would think of as like ghostly maybe, yeah, but it was all the same stuff.
Well, having had occult experiences myself and having had occasions when I was strangled by demonic forces, I can relate to things being pushed around, thrown around. I've had things thrown around our house, cutlery being thrown around, smashed all over my house. I've had amazing experiences. If somebody wants to know more, they can look at my testimony. But Hathor, of course, was an Egyptian goddess, and she was associated with the calf, with cow. She used to be depicted as drinking directly from the udder of the cow. And she has many manifestations and names, Ishtar, for example. It's fascinating that she wore white and blue, which is the same color that the manifestations of Mary in the Roman Catholic Church also wear. White is the color of innocence, and blue is the color of obedience. So she is the epitome of that which is acceptable. And Ra, Amun-Ra, is the sun god. And we all know that that is a manifestation of Lucifer. And the god Amun-Ra, Amun was the deity of Egypt. He was the sun god. It's the story of Semiramis and Nimrod, all of those. And there was a phase in Egyptology, probably associated with Moses and the Exodus, where there was a switch from this monotheistic culture from this polytheistic culture to a monotheistic culture. And Tutankhamun, it's Tutankhamun. Tutankhamun. Ankh is the sign of life. Amun is the god. So Amun is the one that gives you life. That's what Tutankhamun means. But he changed his name to Tutankhaten. So he became Tutankhaten, and his wife changed her name also to Aten, so she became Ankhensenpaten. And this was a one deity that gave life. So there was this entire switch in Egyptology. And then there were a number of people that died, and they forced them back into the polytheistic culture. So he changed his name back to Tutankhamun. Amun is the one who gives life. And Ankhensenpaten became Ankhensenamun. So again, Amun is the deity. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a counterfeit religion, which is sun worship, which is Lucifer worship. And you have the horns of the cow, and in that you have the solar blaze. So that solar blaze is represented as in the horns within the womb. That's the birth of the sun god. Ah. So it goes back to Nimrod, the time of Nimrod, who was killed because of his activities, sentenced to death probably, and then was reborn through Semiramis. And this is the cult of the father, mother, child religious system, which you also find very much in Roman Catholicism. We have father, mother, child. And it's the old system of sun worship. And it has many manifestations over the era. So the names change when you go to Greek culture, and they change when you go to Roman culture. And they changed again when you go to the Christian culture. Just give them different names and different entities, but they're the same deities. So they're basically the worship of Lucifer.
And that's why when you had the experiences before you could become Christian, and you got an exorcist to come, that they also dabble in that whole world the whole time.
And they would have to say a mass. In my own situation, the Catholic priest came to say a mass in my house to rid the house of demonic activity, and he would have to say a mass, which you need special permission. And the mass is, of course, a round disc host, which traditionally is placed in a monstrance, which is the shape of the horns, of the semicircle. They also use the moon as a crescent. So if you go into a Catholic church or cathedral, you will see Mary standing on the crescent moon. Mm-hmm. It's also the birth of the sun god, or because he's androgenic, male-female, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter whether he manifests as a male deity or as a female deity.
What do you think Amun-Ra as the hidden one means? Any ideas?
Well, he's the hidden one. He's the one who pretends to be the wronged one. But the time will come when he will manifest himself and will receive worship. And the Bible says that because it says he will manifest himself as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. And he will impersonate Christ. Mm. Now, it's always fascinating to me that the images that you find in the New Age documents of the Ascended Masters, that they look like Christ. So if a being should manifest, a bright being should manifest in that form and repeat some of the words and create healings, because healing is a very great part of it. Now, in many religious cultures in the world today, healing is, you know, part and parcel of the religious experience. Mm-hmm. So he will put people into bondage and make them sick, and then remove the bondage and they will appear healed. He's a counterfeiter, and he's pretty good at it.
And the reason why, probably like you mentioned, he's hidden, is he has to manifest still. That will probably be coming.
And so this is like the precursor possibly to that. I think it's really interesting to dive into one of the things that Spirit of Prophecy, that we see not only in Spirit of Prophecy, but we see has happened in the Bible itself, is that spirits will pretend to be dead relatives.
Dead relatives?
Necromancy.
Yes, for sure.
I have a clip I want to show you. Through doing this research, there was a guy that worked at NASA in Florida. He works at the Blue Origin Space Center, which is right where the Kennedy Space Center is. And he's a Christian, and he's a Baptist guy. He says, I've been doing research in this for 30 years, not just personally, but because I'm a part of a group of people called MUFON, which stands for the Mutual UFO Network. And he says, it's a group of secular people mostly that look into this stuff and try to write reports when the police say this is way too strange. And we come in and try to validate whether or not the person's crazy or if there's some other legitimate reason of something that's going on here. He says, I've done thousands and thousands of reports. He said, but one of the things that stands out to me, and it's something that changed my understanding of spiritually, is the understanding of death. And here's why.
Something that showed up that was unusual in the research over our years that we've been looking at this is not just myself, but other researchers. I think Barbara Bathalick was one of them, Whitley Strieber. we've all come across cases where testimonial of the experience, the person talks about actually meeting dead relatives during the experience when they're taken aboard a craft. And we've also come across other researchers that have talked about the same thing, where they've had the experiencers share the testimony that they too have come across friends that have died or relatives that have died during the experiences. And that doesn't make any sense at all, being that this is supposed to be about aliens.
So he went on to say that oftentimes, and to your point, he says oftentimes this dead relative is used as a control to make the abductee or the person, he says it doesn't always even have to be on a ship. He said when they have this experience, this vision, or whatever it is, maybe it's in real life. He says it's not really for sure what's going on, but he says that this experience is used as a control to make the person do something that's against the Bible, and usually it's sexual. And he says this is a major part of the whole deception, is to not only do that, that's one of the most common things in all the reports he's written, but the second most common thing is at the very end of the experience, they try to make you believe that Christ is not who he says he is. This is, he says, over and over and over. He's like, and if you believe in aliens, it's like these things came from kilometers long, light years away, and they just came to tell you that Christ wasn't who he says he is. Says, I don't believe it.
Well, if you study the Bible, you know that the dead know nothing. And Satan is a master at convincing humanity that the dead know everything. And it's also fascinating that the most despicable of men often have the highest position in the afterlife. So when I was still in the occult world, you would listen to channeled messages of individuals like Adolf Hitler, and he would be in a higher plane on the other side as even Jesus Christ. So that the most despicable of people would be elevated to positions above Christ is rather strange. And he will manifest as deceased relatives, because that is the most emotional bond that you can create. Now, if you know the scripture and you believe the scripture, then you will understand that it's a very powerful tool that the devil can use. And even with our pioneers in the church, within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the pioneers sometimes, let's put it that way, were confronted by their deceased relatives and their deceased wives. And they would know what the state of the dead is, and then they'd say, you are a liar, because I know that you are a demon, because dead know nothing. And then those entities would be gone.
Danny.
And you're going to read that in some of the stories of the pioneers.
Wow.
Now, I've had experience with the dead that were very personal to me. And if I hadn't become a Christian, and if I didn't understand what the Bible says, there would be no way that you could convince me that this was not so. I was the only one who sat at the deathbed of my father while he was dying. So they called me from in the hospital and said that I should come, and I was not a Christian, I was an atheist, but I was deep into occultism. And he was dying. And as is the case, in his particular case, his breathing just became shallower and shallower and shallower, and then very intermittent, and then it stopped, and he was dead. And I sat there for a couple of seconds watching him. It's a very emotional experience when you see one of your parents die, right? And he stopped breathing completely. And the next moment, he sat upright in bed. He He raised his arms and opened his eyes and he went like this. I nearly freaked. And then he fell back into his bed and that was it. He was dead. Now, that image, nothing can erase that out of my mind. It was so overwhelming. And of course, my first impression would be, he saw my mother, who was also dead. He was being greeted, right? Mm-hmm. And then I called the nurses, and they came, and the doctor came and pronounced him dead, and they covered his sheet. I went home.
Mm.
And I got into the car, and I was driving home, and all of these thoughts are going crazy in your mind. And the next moment, the hair on the back of my head went up, and I was absolutely convinced he was sitting next to me in the car. Of course, I couldn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
I drove home, and I got home, and I told my wife what had happened. Of course, it's a very emotional moment. Your father's just died, these things. And I went and sat in the lounge, and I just sat there. Thought, and I said, okay, if you are in the room with me, then manifest yourself. So show me that you are here. And the next morning, the curtain went
Oh.
It's a pretty freaky thing. Mm-hmm. You have no wind, doors closed, but the curtain moves like that. And I said, okay, all right. So you're all right. That was it. But now come and tell me that's not real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nightmare.
It's a nightmare, right? And then when you discover the Bible and you realize that you were duped and that it is a lie, that it is there to rather believe your senses than to believe the Word of God, you have to deny your senses and accept the Word of God. And if you then resist Him, He will flee from you. Mm. He will not be able to manifest Himself, because his deception has been exposed. So how important is it that we fortify ourselves with the Word of God?
And how many people, including Christian denominations, are driven by an emotional experience?
Yeah.
And that's it can't go much deeper than an experience with an afterlife.
As I read just the other day that someone said they had an experience like that, and there's no way that anyone will ever convince them that it wasn't real.
Yeah, because they saw their child or something.
Mm-hmm. Or the many near-death experiences that you have where someone sees an entity of light and you walk towards it and you're told, no, you have to go back. Now, those experiences I now know to be hypnotic implants.
Mm.
They are hypnotic, almost like visions that are implanted in your mind. Mm. And when I was involved in the New Age movement, I was to practice out-of-body experiences.
Oops.
Is what they called them. And I recall standing next to my bed looking at my body. Now, is that real or was that not real? And I could tell you what was happening in the next room. I could actually go through a wall and tell you what was happening in the next room. And my wife would not believe it sometimes and go and verify whether it was so or not. And sometimes you would have a panic experience because you're trying to get back into this body that is lying there and you can't get back into it. It's a real state of panic. And then you go, and you jerk so that you fall out of bed and you find yourself lying on the floor. Now, it's a quite a dangerous experience because there are certain techniques in which you can use to achieve that state. And one of them is oxygen deprivation. So you stop breathing. So you have to be quite fit to do that. Some of them fast and abstain from certain foods in order to do that. And when you go through that experience, it is so real. Now, was I really outside of my body? Do I really have a soul that is loose from my body? But the Bible says he became a living soul. So the matter plus the breath, the metabolism, makes you the living entity. You are the living entity. The devil tries to convince you that you are not the living entity. You are a shell. The living entity is really inside of you. And when that living entity comes out, it's immortal. So it was never really created. So you don't have a creator. And if you don't have a creator, that means you are a god. And if you are a god, you are a law unto yourself. You don't need an entity to impose something upon you, like a law. So what is this experience? What is this that you are seeing yourself? And then you get this panic attack and you drive yourself. I remember going like this on my body and beating myself and then falling off the bed. And you're bathed in sweat, but you've had an amazing experience, right?
Yeah.
It's hypnosis. It's not real. It's a hypnotic implant. And if he does this over and over and over, and more people begin to testify to these things, then it's no longer speculative. It becomes a reality. And then he's got the world where he wants them. Mm. Then he can spin any story that he wants to. And his favorite story, as you say, is that Jesus is not, whom he says.
And probably the next one will be that he's changed all the commandments and stuff.
He's changed the commandments, and that Sunday is his day.
That'll
be the ultimate.
That's what's happening next. There's one thing I want to end with this, I have a few spirit prophecy quotes that I think were very interesting. I want to think, have you comment on them, because these are some of the things that we found as we were studying this. Let's see if I can find them here just a moment. I have a document with a bunch of them in here, so... In the days of the Hebrews, this is from Darkness Before the Dawn, a compilation. In the days of the Hebrews, there was a class of people who claimed, as the spiritualists of today, to hold communion with the dead. But the familiar spirits, as these visitants from other worlds were called, are declared by the Bible to be spirits of devils. It's a very interesting quote to me, because as Solomon said, I think, there's nothing new under the sun. And so it looks to me that what she's saying here is that these things back in the days of Hebrews, they claimed to be inhabitants from other worlds.
Yes.
And so there is going to be the same deception that's going to happen again. I think, this is my guess, that it appears that Roger Morneau was right and that there is going to be a big deception coming. Of spirituality.
Another spirit mediums in the time of the patriarchs in early Israel. King Saul went to see the witch of Endor.
Mm-hmm.
And they would speak to these entities at their idols. And these idols were like a source of medium revelations.
Oracles.
Oracles, yes, and you have the similar manifestations today. You have, in Roman Catholicism, statues that have manifestations that have bleeding or tears or this, that, and the other, and people go into euphoria. Nothing has changed.
Well, even if you go into the Egyptology and all of those, either in the hieroglyphics of thousands of years back, there is signs of manifestations of these type of things. Mm-hmm.
And a great controversy, we've probably heard this before. When they have been led to believe that the dead actually return to communicate with them, Satan causes those to appear whom went into the grave unprepared. They claim to be happy in heaven and even occupy exalted positions there. And thus the error is widely taught that there's no difference between the righteous and the wicked, that we're all go to heaven. The pretended visitants from other worlds of spirits sometimes utter cautions and warnings, which prove to be correct. Then, as confidence is gained, they present doctrines that directly undermine the faith in the scriptures. So she's gonna, they're going to attack her scriptures next, too.
And one of them that she mentions that will claim, where it is claimed that he has an exalted position in heaven, is Thomas Paine. Mm. One of the vilest occultists who have ever lived, was very influential also within the early part of the American history.
Mm. You see, it's very interesting if we read that, and then you read, is it Blavatsky or Bailey, who said of the manifestation of the hierarchy?
It's Bailey that says it, but Bailey is the follow-up prophet of Blavatsky. Blavatsky.
So, you see, so the occult prophets also says that there will be this manifestation, as long with what we've, it's always been there, and it probably is the way it's going to.
I expect it to accelerate greatly within the next year.
I do too. I think, in fact, as I was studying 2025 and 2027, were talked about quite a bit as we've been going over some of these writings for some reason. But the last quote from Darkness of the Dawn I wanted to present your ideas on is, fearful sights of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens in a token and power of miracle-working demons. The spirits of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world, so two different sections, the leaders and to the rest of the people, to fasten them in the deception and urge them to unite with Satan in his last struggle against the government of heaven. By these agencies, rulers and subjects will be alike deceived. Persons will arise pretending to be Christ himself and claiming the title and worship which belongs to the world's Redeemer. And she's quoting here, summarizing, I guess, Revelation 16:13, which talks about the spirits that go from the frogs, and I think, or the frogs, which are the spirits, it says it's the spirits, and goes to the whole world. But I think what's really interesting about that passage that I had never read before, or maybe I read it, I didn't realize it, but she says the purpose of these spirits, not she, Revelation, John says the purpose of these spirits, said that it is to rally the armies of the earth for war, physical war, as if we can kill God. And so that's what's happening right now, is in the media, we're seeing these things, they're trying to put weapons in space. Mm-hmm. We're trying to...
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
United States is creating this fifth arm of the military called...
Star Wars.
Yeah, basically.
It's called Star Wars, and then... But it's not the only country. U.S. is not the only
Space Force.
Space Force. Thank you.
You know what's interesting is that demonic revelations and leadership of the world has been very common. And even the presidents that I have witnessed in my life, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, they all spoke about communion with spirit entities. And they used zodiacal signs and sign readers to tell them when to do this, that, or the other. And yes, people will say you're crazy, but I do believe that Satan is preparing a physical war against the coming of Christ, as if he would be able to use nuclear weapons or missiles to try and prevent it. And even the Bible talks that after the millennium, he will raise up a great army and think that they can attack the city and they will create weapons of war. Now, if you think that God, with one raising of his arm, can destroy the whole world with a flood, then what will they achieve by their activities? It is wishful thinking. So is this for the benefit of the demonic forces? I don't think so. I think they are fully aware that they do not have a chance against God. But it is there to deceive humanity to stay in rebellion, because they could be convinced that they can actually beat this entity.
So it will be the whole plan is to take as much of humanity with them
in rebellion
as possible.
Fascinating. Thank you so much. This has been really, really interesting to go over this topic with you guys, and I appreciate you guys coming out and doing it.
This was a real pleasure. People will say we're probably nuts. You know, these are my experiences. I cannot deny them. And fortunately, if you have accepted the truth of the Bible and the truth as it is in Christ, then you can be distanced from these things. You can observe it, and you can use every opportunity that you can get to warn humanity. But to be involved in it is something that I do not wish anybody.
Me pray, sir.
Heavenly Father, we know that there's a great cosmic conflict going on behind the scenes. And demonic forces are not only manifesting already, but will be doing so more and more. They will be taking on roles which represent entities that are no longer in existence. And they will deceive many, if possible, even the elect. So, Lord, I pray that you will open the eyes of people, take them to your word, make them realize the veracity of your word. Read it, trust it, believe it, implement it, and be safeguarded against these demonic delusions. And help everyone to realize that there is only one way to salvation, and that this cosmic war is really not against flesh and blood, but against the evil and the principalities and the sin that is in this world. Because the new world will be without sin, without fear, and without death. And we look forward to that entity which is real and not based on illusions. Thank you for your word. We embrace it, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.